under attack. Time has come, we're gonna take it back. Just gonna wait and see. Don't tread on me. I won't sit back, stand idly by. Watch the heart of my nation die. Oh, not me. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible. Don't tread on my guns. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. I'm gonna take a stand, spread these words all across the land, from sea to sea, don't tread on me. So tell your neighbors, tell all your friends, gonna see that eagle flying high again. You better believe, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guns, don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I'll damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Yeah, I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me.
Everybody, welcome back into the show. Second hour of Your Defending Fathers with Trucker Randy Bishop here on the Patriot Voice Radio Network. Joining us, as usual, on the line right now is Ian Murphy. He's the owner of the Iron Pig Smokehouse there in downtown Gaylord. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Trucker Randy.
Have you been following these wildfires out in Texas?
I absolutely have, mainly because, you know, the cattle population, some 80% of Texas's cattle herd is in the panhandle of Texas. So that those fires and the farms out there are going to have a direct impact on my business.
How much beef does the Iron Pig provide its customers percentage-wise of your business?
Oh, I would say probably, you know, of our main proteins that we have, brisket is probably 70% of that.
70%.
Yeah, and then we've got, obviously, ground beef burgers, which make up, you know, a fair percentage of that as well. But brisket alone is by far and away. And then we have pork is our other big one as well. But at any given time, we're pushing, you know, 1,000 pounds plus of brisket through here, you know, 5 to 6 days. It's insane. We go through a lot of meat.
So you're saying 5 to 6,000 pounds within the week would be a good way to answer that question mathematically?
It's probably more like 2,500 pounds per week. And obviously it skyrockets in the summertime, but on average
for the year.
Yeah.
On average. Yep. So okay, so we're at on average 5,000 pounds times 52 weeks.
Yeah, it's a lot of weight.
260, a quarter of a million pounds goes through the Iron Pig in Gaylord, Michigan.
Yes, sir.
Unbelievable. Because they're saying, I've had farmers tell me that they say, I talked to Mark White in Antrim County. He's mm-hmm. like Cliff Tolini. He does private beef raising for friends, family, neighbors here in Antrim County.
Mm-hmm.
He said, Randy, he said, the stores are going to be out of beef by Memorial Day. And I went, what do you mean out of beef? He goes, I mean, no beef in the store. Zero.
Yep. And I'm like, believe that.
It's going to happen that fast, Ian.
It very well could. I mean, that's how fragile the supply chain is. And we saw a lot of that during the pandemic, mainly with the distribution, not so much the numbers in cattle herds, or what previously was the issue was, say, ribs and the pig population. We've seen some of that recently with chicken. Chicken is on the rise big time right now, and part of it is some avian flu, but another part of it is some very suspicious fires at several large chicken farms.
and processing plants.
Yes, yes.
I saw the beef production slaughterhouses that just all of a sudden caught on fire, and mm-hmm. they're in the process of rebuilding some of them, but some of them they said they shut down because they just didn't have a market for it anymore, and I don't get it. Population continuing slightly to grow, but at the same time, you know, they're saying that we can't afford or justify the cost of rebuilding a processing plant. It just, something is up. And I know I've got all these conspiracy friends telling me, you know, the government wants to control us by controlling us with the food and all that. I get it, but I'm out of aluminum foil.
Yeah, you know, one of my biggest complaints is, you know, factory farming altogether. I'd love to be able to source my products much more locally than I am. I can get vegetables and those types of things. And, of course, I do have access to pigs and porks and this other stuff, but just not at the regularity that I can get with my larger suppliers.
Exactly, exactly. Gonna take a short break. Hold Ian Murphy on from the Iron Pig Smokehouse in downtown Gaylord through the break. We'll be right back.
If you are a PIE&G electric customer, call and get on the PIE&G Connect Express today. Call 800-423-6634 to get connected to the best, fastest, most reliable fiber internet connection in northern Michigan. Faster than Frontier, speedier than Sunrise, all at an affordable price. So call them today at 800-423-6634 and get on the PIE&G Connect internet train. All aboard!
Montana Black Angus beef raised in Onaway, Michigan. Tolini Farms have been raising their cows by feeding them non-GMO corn, barley, wheat, and alfalfa hay, all grown on their own farm. Taking the Ebles for processing, aged, standard cut, vacuum sealed, and frozen, ready for immediate delivery directly to you. Call them today at 989-733-2782 for their current $4 per hanging weight pound. Quarters or halves will feed your family for a year. Call them right now at 989-733-2782.
The Sioux Animal Hospital in Sault Ste. Marie has been in the same location for 35 years. The owner, Dr. Jeff, specializes in providing all aspects of care for your animals. From annual shots to complicated bone and soft tissue surgeries, Dr. Jeff can take care of any animal. So call him today at 906-635-5910. From dogs and cats to cows and horses, Dr. Jeff loves them all. So give him a call at 906-635-5910.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. I support this show, and I would like to offer you our biggest discounts for listening. So please go to our website, MyPillow.com, and put in the promo code at the end of this message to get the biggest discounts. Again, thanks for listening, and God bless.
Thanks, Mike. Folks, go to MyPillow.com and enter the promo code TRUCKERRANDY, or call 800-654-9659.
My name is Todd Spalber. I'm running to be your state representative in the 106th District. One of the reasons that I am running is because our current public education system is failing our children. I support real, common-sense policies and approaches to education and the safety of our children. All parents have a right to decide on their children's education, not the government or unions. I will fight to ensure that. After all, they are our most precious resources we have, and they are worth the fight. Vote for me, Todd Spalber, electspalber.com. Paid for by Todd Spalber for state rep.
Everybody, welcome back into the show. Second segment, hour number two. Staying on through the break is Ian Murphy, the owner of Iron Pig Smokehouse there in downtown Gaylord. I got a couple of text messages here, Ian, maybe you could respond to. If the prices go up first, like I predicted, that's the first way they try to slow down consumption is they raise the price, you know, making it almost unaffordable. The next stage then is shortages, and then ultimately they're predicting by Memorial Day completely out of it. The commodity's gone until they can get this back, the supply chain going again. local farmers in our area, for example, Cliff Tolini over there in Onaway, I'm going to send you his number. I would like you to have a conversation with him because he has beef in the freezers that he's already done. He's always raised them, already took them to maturity, had them slaughtered, processed. They're frozen, vacuum sealed, will last in the freezer a year. My point is this. This does this not make us more than reliable on our local sources, our local farmers here in our own communities?
If there is anything that good that could come from something like this, absolutely. What I worry about is the strain, you know, moving that supply from such a large channel to a smaller channel locally, that can put a tremendous amount of strain on them as well. But I would love to see, and not just the beef industry, but groceries overall have moved to such a factory farming. I mean, the milk, I mean, just everything. Eggs. Eggs are damn near 20 to 25 cents a piece per egg right now. It's crazy.
Yeah.
If we can move some of that supply away from those large-scale manufacturing processes, I think we'll be healthier people. I will have access to better products with less sugars and refined sugars and saturated fats and all these unhealthy things, the food colorings and all this nasty stuff that are making us all sick.
Yep.
That, I think, would be an amazing thing. And the other part of it is, this is part of having a commodities market process with pork bellies and cattle and chicken and all these other things. So there are large market forces, but when you have such limited supply across, what, six manufacturers maybe control 90-some percent of the beef market, roughly?
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe less than that. That is a problem, and that needs to be addressed. And I think as a country whole, you know, as a whole, we've really moved away from the idea of a corporation being too big. You know, I'm old enough to remember when they broke up Ma Bell, you know, the AT&T stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, that just doesn't seem to happen anymore.
Well, and the thing of it is, you know, it's amazing, and that's what I said, announced on the show, is that it's amazing how they try to control us. I got a couple of text messages with food, and I'm like, there's one component they're forgetting about, American ingenuity. My grandpa, James Bishop, down in Lapeer County, like I said, I think his last day, he was 87 years old when he died that day, had fed the cows and the pigs that morning. It's in their blood. It's in their DNA. Mm-hmm. They're not going to sell to commercial farming. They will literally kill themselves to keep the farm going because of the heritage of having it from their father, grandfather, great-grandfather, how it was passed down. It's in their blood. And these guys are going to be the ones we're going to have to rely on as the local farmers in our communities.
Yeah, and I'll take it one step further, and to bring it all the way back around back home from my seat is regulation. You know, the FDA here in Michigan, the Department of Agriculture, I mean, we've just seen now what there's some Amish folks that are under fire now for some things that they're doing on their farms. That regulation has got to get out of the way. Now, there should be some. I'm okay with that. But when it's so cost prohibitive for you to, A, get into business, let alone continue to be in business when you've been in it for lifetimes,
yep,
it makes it so difficult. And then we'll talk about how hard it is to bequeath these properties and these businesses to the next generation and the taxes on top of that. So the deck is really stacked against these local farmers. And there's things our politicians can do to get these regulations and some of these tax burdens and things out of the way for them so they can be more prosperous.
Well, I have Cliff Tolini talking with Todd Smallenberg over these particular testing that the Northeastern Michigan farmers have to put up with over, you know, TB and all these other, mm-hmm. you know, diseases. That they only now are the only targeted group in the entire state of Michigan that are required to perform these tests. And Dr. Jeff from the Sioux Animal Hospital went down to Tolini's farm and others in the Onaway area to do this testing. And Cliff said, Randy, we've been doing beef since 1982 in Onaway. He said, I don't even know what the number is. He said, I could go back through it and have Emily look up the numbers. We're talking hundreds of thousands of dollars in testing that he's had to do that other farmers in the state of Michigan haven't. So he's talking to Todd and said, if you'll help me when you get to Lansing to pass something to get rid of these restrictions on Northeast Michigan farmers, he said, dude, I will support you and get every farmer I know to support you because it's got to happen. And nobody's doing anything about it. They're just letting them continue to, you know, basically it's a tax, Ian, that they're giving farmers in Northeast Michigan.
Right. Also, it is a justification of their own existence, right? So when you have such a bloated bureaucracy in the executive branch, when talking about the Department of Agriculture here in Michigan especially, these are people that need to justify their own existence, right? Our local health department, who we're battling right now, they have a purpose, right? They have some very specific enumerated purposes. When they start going outside that and taking the language and meandering it into such things, that's when it becomes a problem. And that's what MDARD is doing with these farmers, is they're taking these things to such extreme lengths. I can understand if a farm has had a history of some disease or something, or they find that they do have a disease and trying to mitigate that, that makes sense for MDARD to have an interaction with them. But if they have no history of any such thing, there's no point in spending all that time and energy except only to justify your own existence.
Exactly. Again, more bureaucratic justification to basically protect their paycheck.
Yes, exactly.
Unbelievable. Update us real quick on the industry as a whole. Is there any other news that we need to be aware of? I talked to a small business owner. I was heading south for the weekend, and I stopped at Burgers, B-E-R-G-E-R-S. It's exit 160. I was heading southbound. Got off the expressway. He's just west of the McDonald's, and it's a family-owned four-generation restaurant. I don't know if you've ever heard of these guys or not, mm-hmm. but he has been involved in perch. The entire family has for four generations. And he explained to me the differences between perch, and they sell only and have on their menu yellow-bellied lake perch. And I'm like, okay, well, perch is perch. And he said, oh, no, 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 son. So I'm sitting there eating my yellow-bellied lake perch. It was phenomenal. I couldn't believe the taste of it. And he said, Randy, the only place you get a real true yellow-bellied perch is from a lake. Not an ocean, okay, and definitely not from a farm. You need it from a great lake. And I'm like, unbelievable. Educated me about that. But here's a whole nother industry that they're being overregulated. And he was complaining about the Indian tribes being able to continue to fish basically with no limits when the commercial fishermen can't. And he explained the whole thing to me while I was having dinner with them at the bar. I was sitting there having my meal. It's amazing how they are involved in almost every single industry we have here.
Yes, it truly is. When you look at the size of that executive branch and all of those administrative agencies, you start to realize why. Two departments of education, a global Michigan council, you know, whatever the hell that is.
Right.
That is the point of the executive branch, is for them to justify their own existence and create these committees and councils and agencies in order to grow their branch of government. And this is when we talk about inflation and how people's personal economies are not doing well, despite there might be some good economic indicators, if you believe that. This is what people are talking about when they say inflation. It's all of these things put together. It's not just the cost of a gallon of gas or a gallon of milk. It's the cost of doing business. It's all of these things. I mean, we don't – our menu prices here at the Iron Pig have obviously gone up tremendously in the last 4 years, and we know why that is. And I don't see really an end coming to that. I don't think we're going to be raising our prices here at the Pig anytime soon, mainly because of our model that we run here. Gives us a little bit different formula.
Right.
But I – I can see exactly why people's personal economies are not doing well.
Yeah. Well, the bottom line is you have a court case coming up on April 9th. I'm going to be broadcasting from the Iron Pig that morning, having lunch there with you and talking to your attorney, David Delaney, before we go to the courtroom at 2 o'clock. But could this case ultimately, with the victory you hope to get, reining in the health department and other aspects of it, do you think this could then ultimately lead to where you were hoping to impact all of the bureaucratic departments, not just the health department?
Yeah, it's going to be a slow walk to get there, but as is many things in the judicial branch, right? So the idea that we're trying to put forth is the strict separation of powers in Michigan's constitution, which very closely mirrors the federal constitution. There is no delegation allowed from one branch to the other. In our case, the legislative branch wrote a health code back in 1978 that had some language in it that has been abused in the last 4 years. We're seeking to put an end to that. But that argument contained there can be questioned at any agency in the executive branch, the DNR, the Liquor Commission. We're seeing it play out with the Department of Civil Rights. We have a mask mandate case out of Emmett County that you and I have not talked a whole lot about. But inside that also is the school code, similar to Let Them Breathe. This is a school teacher that is actually suing her own school district over there. So they're vastly scared of that. Inside that argument is the Iron Pigs vesting clauses argument, as we call it. And if you look at Michigan's constitution, it strictly vests power in each branch. And nowhere in each of those statutes does it say that they can be divested of that power. So that is a very simple argument that we're putting forth. And we hope that many other smart people pick that ball up and run with it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's going to be interesting because, like you say, this could be the first case that kind of builds itself for you to then go to the next step, which would affect all the bureaucratic agencies, not just the health department, kind of rein in Lansing a little bit. But like you say, it's a slow walk, and you've got to do it one step at a time.
Yeah, the point is to show everybody how these laws were abused to the point that everybody knows that they were, but to show how easily can be done and how that availability of power is still there. We know it was already abused once, but that power is still there in several other statutes, and that's what we're going for.
That's ultimately going to be the final plan.
Yep.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, we appreciate that. I got a text message. Jimmy Rieger says, of course, the Iron Pig is a great place to eat. We've got others that said they've enjoyed it. One of the things that people are concerned about is that this is all by design. It's all part of, you know, the WHO, the WEF. They're saying they're trying to control us. Ultimately, like you say, that's what government's tried to do to you, and that's why you've been fighting the good fight.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And you can see exactly what happens anytime anybody tries to speak out and go against the system that is in place. More so, simply questioning that system. We saw what happened with Marlena at Marlena's Bistro. I was threatened with jail time. Massive fines up at Cafe Rosetta up in the UP. That's just a couple of restaurants. And we know how much impact these mandates had.
Absolutely. Well, we appreciate you, brother. Stay strong. Keep fighting the good fight. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, as always.
Bottom of the hour news for hour number two. We'll be right back.